outcome document. I thank you.
Thank you, Ambassador. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Guyana.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Guyana aligns itself with the statements delivered on behalf of the Group of 77 and China, AOSIS and CARICOM respectively. We join others in thanking you for the zero draft before us. The Rio Plus 20 conference will be definitive for the future sustainable development. The international community will be afforded the opportunity to take stock of progress to date and to reaffirm the foundation and the substantive focus of the sustainable development agenda in the years ahead. Accordingly, we believe that the outcome must chart an ambitious yet practical path forward that will result in accelerated progress in the promotion of sustainable development. Against this backdrop, my delegation believes that while the zero draft constitutes a preliminary basis for discussions by providing broad parameters for engagement, it should necessarily be invested with greater ambition, greater clarity and consistency, and it must place greater accent on actionable proposals and be imbued with a sense of urgency, which to our view is patently lacking at this stage. In this regard, I will highlight a few elements of importance to the Guyana delegation. Mr. Chair, the core mandate of the Rio Plus 20 conference invokes the need for a thorough assessment of progress in Rio, of the gaps in the implementation of sustainable development, and the reasons for the shortcomings. My delegation is disappointed that the zero draft is light in its assessment of progress and lacks any substantial analysis of the reasons for the lack of progress. Without an honest assessment, any framework for future action that we elaborate will likely be less than equal to the magnitude of the problem. From the perspective of my delegation, while there are indeed aspects and areas of progress in relation to sustainable development, most notably greater awareness of and stronger efforts by most countries to make development pursuits more sustainable across economic, social, and environmental fields, on the whole, progress has been slow and well below expectations. Critically, there has also been only limited advances in efforts to fully and effectively integrate the three dimensions of sustainable development at all levels. We believe that an objective analysis will reveal that among the central factors that have led to these shortcomings are the lack of delivery on the previously agreed commitments and the inability of the international community to effectively address a wide range of global challenges, among them climate change. In this regard, many of the long-standing concerns of developing countries relating to the means of implementation have not been adequately addressed, especially those relating to finance, technology transfer, and capacity building. The outcome should provide a clear and cohesive elaboration of options for strengthening implementation. We believe that the future we want should be built on the sentiments of paragraphs 11 and 14. An acknowledgement of the very serious setbacks to progress in sustainable development, coupled with a strong commitment to redouble efforts to accelerate the pace and quality of sustainable development on a global scale, should provide the animus for our efforts at Rio Plus 20. In this regard, the future we want must be qualitatively different, and the basis for that is a full analysis of the gaps of the present. Mr. Chair, the future we want should also pay greater attention to the reality and adverse impacts of growing and persistent disparities and inequalities within and across countries, which is one of the defining challenges of our time. Our world is increasingly marked by the paradox of increased prosperity in the midst of prevalent want and deprivation. growing disparities present a challenge not only for the pursuit of accelerated levels of sustainable development as a whole, but also to peace and security. The Zero Draft does not address this issue in a direct and focused manner. As a credible response to the current global situation, the outcome must commit to action to address the growth of inequality in the social, economic, and environmental spheres, and to promote greater equity as an urgent priority. Mr. Chair, the future we want should be a greener future. The outcome should be clear in its reaffirmation of the well-established core tenets and principles of sustainable development. Rio perceives an integrated focus on the three pillars of sustainable development. And going forward, we believe that this should be not only reaffirmed, but articulated in the architecture that we will elaborate going forward. There is need for greater balance in treating with the opportunities and challenges arising from the green economy agenda in the context of sustainable development and poverty eradication. Diana believes that the low carbon growth trajectory is consistent with the overall goals of sustainable development. And to this end, the government of Guyana has developed a low-carbon development strategy in partnership with major stakeholders in our society to guide its further development pursuits. More focused attention to sustainable agriculture and fisheries in their own right, and to forestry and ecosystem management must be integral to our efforts to promote a greener future. Mr. Chair, the future we want must also be a healthier future. At the heart of Rio is the primacy of human development as a concern in sustainable development. In this context, the interrelationships between health and sustainable development, to which Chapter 6 of Agenda 21 is devoted, and which elaborates the many and direct interconnections, bear particular mention. The rise of a number of critical public health challenges, including infectious diseases such as HIV/AIDS and non-communicable diseases, now makes it an imperative to give even greater attention to the health and sustainable development nexus. Regrettably, the Zero Draft is largely silent on this issue. Mr. Chair, the future we want will require an institutional framework that is better oriented to serve the purposes for which they were conceived. Clearly, adequate and effective mechanisms must be put in place to measure progress and to promote greater accountability of all actors. And in this context, we are open to considering the prospect of sustainable development goals. And there will be need for clarity and full understanding of their implications. In addition, the linkages with UN operational activities and the ongoing discussion are related to the post-MDG development framework should be elaborated. Several proposals have been mooted in the Zero Draft to strengthen the current institutional structure, notably the universalization of a number of the major instances dealing with environment and sustainable development, which strike us as interesting, and we would be willing to engage in discussions on these matters. But without prejudice to the specific details, the advantages and disadvantages of the various proposals, the question must reasonably be asked: would these new or reformed institutions stand any greater chance of functioning more effectively in the absence of increased political will? Mr. Chair, Diana again wishes to thank you and your co-chair for the document before us. We stand ready to continue working with you with the aim of reaching a consensus that is mutually satisfactory to all delegations in good time. In this regard, we stress the importance of the most effective use of the limited time remaining for negotiations and of the adherence to transparency in the process ahead. I thank you.
Thank you, Ambassador. Before I introduce the next speaker,
I shall give the next 10 speaker in line. Comoros, Islamic Republic of Iran, Malaysia, Holy See, Business and Industry, WHO, Grenada, South Africa, Pakistan, and New Zealand. And the distinguished representative of Uganda, you have the floor.
Distinguished co-chairs and distinguished delegates, Uganda commends the co-chairs, the Bureau, as well as the Secretariat for preparing the zero draft, and we welcome the successful attempt to make it inclusive and succinct. While we have a number of concerns on the zero draft, we believe that it forms a good basis for our discussions and taking forward the process leading towards Rio Plus 20. And Uganda has prepared a written submission of specific comments on the zero draft, which we hope will be taken into account when streamlining the document. My delegation also aligns itself with the statements made by the representatives of Algeria, Nepal, and Benin on behalf of the Group of 77 and China, the LDCs, and the African Group, respectively. However, we wish to make the following additional comments as a matter of emphasis on issues that we consider critical for advancing the goal of sustainable development, but which have not been given adequate attention in the document. First and foremost, Mr. Co-Chair, in its general treatment of sustainable development issues, we would like the draft outcome document to accord a more appropriate balance between the three pillars of sustainable development in terms of their coverage. Currently, this section focuses mainly on emerging issues under the environmental pillar, as compared to the economic and social pillars that are equally critical. We believe that discussions on new and emerging challenges should also effectively focus on preventing new crises, eradicating poverty, and addressing inequalities. Let us not forget that the Rio Plus 20 process is an agreement on how to implement policies that allow the world to grow and develop in a manner that is sustainable, not just environmentally, but economically and socially as well. Furthermore, tailoring solutions that suit the needs of nations and communities at different levels of development, as well as vulnerability, requires flexibility that must also be brought into the document. On specific issues, Mr. Co-Chair, we find the draft lacking on three major issues of critical importance to Africa in particular. Number one is urbanization. It is important to recognize as an emerging issue under this section the fast pace with which urbanization is taking place in developing countries in general and Africa in particular, and the implications that this will have for sustainable development in the region. Number two, migration. Internal and international migration is inevitable. Migration in Africa is taking place for reasons that are found under all the three pillars of sustainable development. That has serious implications for the sustainable development of both the originating communities. It is important, therefore, that the dignity and mutual coexistence of peoples in both these communities is accorded attention in the interest of harmonious relations in the long run. Number three is the issue of desertification, drought, and land degradation, as well as the need for adaptation to climate change, which have already been highlighted by the African Group. We fully support the emphasis given by the group on these important issues. Finally, Mr. Co-Chair, in renewing political commitments to action on sustainable development and reaffirming the Rio principles, it is essential to ensure that past actions, action plans are implemented if we are to make real progress towards the achievement of the goals of sustainable development. In this regard, we would like to see a higher level of ambition with greater sense of urgency in terms of practical and concrete actions or measures that must be taken, especially with regard to the fulfillment of commitments in support of developing countries. And thank you, Co-Chair.
Thank you. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Comoros.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman, my delegation aligns itself with the statements made by Algeria on behalf of the G77 and China, Nepal on behalf of the LDCs, Nauru on behalf of AOSIS, Benin on behalf of the African group, and Libya on behalf of the Arab group. My delegation welcomes the work carried out by the Secretariat and the co-chairs in preparing this zero draft, and welcomes and appreciates the outstanding briefing made by the USG, which clearly and pertinently raises questions and challenges that we face in the framework of Rio+20. I wanted to base my statement on 2 points. First, implementation of commitments undertaken by development partners, and the problem of development and migration, which sadly doesn't appear in the document, and this is a pity, since we know the contribution of remittances for the development of our countries. But in order to respect the time given to me, my statement will focus on implementation of commitments undertaken by the partner, development partners, since we believe this is an issue that should be at the heart of the concerns at Rio+20. There's been a serious delay in this sphere, particularly in terms of financing ODA, foreign debt, investment in trade, strengthening our capacities, and transfer of technologies. So, our countries have respectively made great efforts to establish strategies for poverty eradication, hunger eradication as part of achieving the MDGs, and strategies to counter climate change, which is a major challenge, in particular for the SIDS, whose very existence is threatened by rising sea levels. In so doing, we have marshalled our meagre national resources by carrying out drastic cuts in the lives of our states, by reducing civil service salaries, introducing new taxes, thus prompting in some of our regions repeated strikes and riots that have shaken and placed in danger the structure and life of our states. So, the multiple crises continue to strike our countries fully and thus are negating gains previously made. The crisis weren't caused by our countries, but were the fact, as we all know, by financial speculation documented in certain developed countries. The current financial efforts at all levels to mitigate the crisis and confront the challenges facing certain of our partner countries are pleasing, but at the same time, and this is a question of justice, we believe that the same interests, the same efforts should be resolutely committed to implement the commitments undertaken at all levels in order to make Rio a milestone so that we can respond concretely to the hopes and expectations of the very poorest people. I thank you, sir.
Thank you. Now I give the floor to the distinguished representative of Islamic Republic of Iran.
Thank you, Co-Chair. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, at the outset, my delegation would like to associate itself with the statement made by Algeria on behalf of G77 and China. Also, I appreciate the efforts made by the co-chairs and bureau members of the preparatory committee in submitting the zero draft of Rio+20 outcome document in a timely manner. co-chairs, my delegation believes that one of the major current challenges is the ongoing economic and financial crisis and its impacts, which is the result of the current international financial system. In this context, my delegation reaffirmed the urgent need to address in the document the lack of proper regulation and monitoring of the financial sectors, lack of transparency and financial integrity, and unsustainable patterns of consumption and production in developed countries. These economic repercussions have also aggravated poverty, social exclusion, increased unequal distribution of income and wealth, and undermined efforts to implement sustainable development. Therefore, we call for the reform of the global financial system and architecture towards a new international economic order based on the principle of justice, sovereign equality, common interest, cooperation, and solidarity among the states. Co-chairs, the Islamic Republic of Iran believes that the outcome document needs to include a real assessment why many of the commitments of the United Nations conferences on environment and development were not realized to their full potential. What has prevented the international community from moving forward on agreements? How we can encourage the political wills towards the implementation of commitments for the sake of our planet, our life, and our next generations. Co-chairs, the outcome document of the Conference of Rio shall achieve the objective of securing renewed political commitments for sustainable development, assessing the progress to date and remaining gaps in the implementation of the outcomes of the major summits on sustainable development and addressing new and emerging challenges. Co-chairs, my delegation believes that the zero draft did not address properly the problem of desertification and drought in Asia and Africa. We are aware of the need to cooperate at the global and regional levels with the view to preventing and managing dust storms and sandstorms through the sharing of related information, forecasting, and early warning system. Co-chairs, the Rio Conference should identify a framework of action focused on implementation and full integration of the three pillars of sustainable development and accordance with the principle of common but differentiated responsibilities in order to achieve tangible outcomes. My delegation believes that the draft lacks ambition and action-oriented language, especially in the terms of the means of implementation and the full integration of the three pillars of sustainable development. The lack of integration of the three pillars and ambiguity about the implementation of the commitments of sustainable development have led to the scale and gravity of global challenges, especially climate change, threatening the ability of developing countries to achieve the MDGs. Finally, my delegation committed itself to furthering the success of the EU conference and hope its outcome become another important milestone in the course of global sustainable development. Thank you.
Thank you. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Malaysia.
Mr. Co-Chair, Malaysia wishes to associate itself with the statement made by Algeria on behalf of G77 and China. Allow me at this outset to thank you for giving Malaysia the floor to share our views on the zero draft of the outcome document for the Rio Plus 20 Summit. Mr. Co-Chair, Rio in 1992 has changed the world. Recognition of and respect towards sustainable development has been growing. International agreements and the work of the international community, governments, local authorities, and major groups in many occasions are guided by the Rio principles and the Agenda 21. However, 20 years after the world committed to sustainable development, there were considerable weaknesses and imbalances in and between all three pillars of sustainable development, and their integration at the national as well as regional level still remain an urgent challenge. The preparatory process for Rio Plus 20 would offer an opportunity for us to seek answers to those questions and to identify orientations for policy reforms. We need to find out how we can support the integration of these three pillars. What are the lessons learned from our efforts to date that could be useful to reduce those weaknesses and imbalances that appeared? The main outcomes of the internationally agreed Sustainable Development Agenda under the UN auspices are reaffirmed throughout the document. However, the implementation aspect of the zero draft still need to be fine-tuned, as the failure of implementation is clearly evidenced by the multiple crises facing the world as we head towards Rio Plus 20. Mr. Co-Chair, an important outcome of the Rio Plus 20 conference will be the shaping of the sustainable development over the next few years. Thus, the group of 7 and China has asked for the reaffirmation of the Rio principles as one of the key principles, namely common but differentiated responsibilities, is slowly being marginalized. Reaffirmation of common but differentiated responsibilities is important as it is a manifestation of general principle of equity in the international legal framework and recognition of the historical differences in the contributions of developed and developing countries to global environmental problems and differences in our respective economic and technical capabilities to tackle the problems. The tendency to group the behavior and actions of all actors together without differentiating the types of responsibilities, obligations and commitments can result in the dilution of common but differentiated responsibilities principle, thus not addressing the question of equity. On green economy, allow us to reaffirm our concern on the concept of green economy, which must be further discussed, although the term itself carries the promise of a new economic growth paradigm that is friendly to Earth's ecosystems. In this regard, Malaysia would like to reiterate that green economy should not be used as a protectionist tool or as condition for international financial cooperation. On the international framework for sustainable development, Malaysia believes that the existing structures and system in IFSD are so complicated that it is difficult for developing and least developed countries to participate effectively and meaningfully. Other than that, there are other issues that hinder the progress of IFSD. Among them are lack of political will, lack of proper mandate and means of implementation, and lack of coherence and coordination among the UN agencies to implement more than hundreds of multilateral environmental agreements. This has obstructed the progress towards attaining sustainable development. In this context, it is timely for us to consider the creation of a single entity to anchor global efforts for the environment by establishing a UN specialized agency for the environment so as to strengthen the international environmental governance system that could react better to the needs of developing countries in their pursuit of sustainable development while meeting their international obligations. Likewise, strengthening the other two pillars of sustainable development, namely social and economic pillars, is equally important and must also be given a top priority in order for us to achieve a balanced development. Mr. Co-Chair, to conclude, we wish to reiterate the importance of the outcomes of Rio Plus 20, and we look forward for a fruitful deliberation on the packages that the world as a whole benefits from the Rio Plus 20 outcomes. I thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you. Now I give the floor to the distinguished representative of Holy See.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, thank you for having convened this meeting today and having provided the zero draft for the outcome document of Rio Plus 20. It goes without saying that a great deal of time has gone into the preparation of this draft, and for this we wish to express our sincere gratitude for all those who have been involved in this regard. My delegation sees this initial draft as a good basis for negotiations and looks forward to making its proper contribution. Mr. Chairman, the Holy See believes that in addressing the overarching pillars of environmental, economic, and social development, a human-centered approach, as reflected in the first principle of the original Rio Declaration, must form the foundation for all development policies. The centrality of the human person and the promotion of the inherent dignity and worth of all persons without distinction are fundamental in order to avoid a reductionist approach which views the human person as an obstacle to development. States must work to promote true human development through the recognition of the need for integral development which values all of its aspects: environmental, economic, social, ethical, moral, and spiritual. Mr. Chairman, as in the past, these principles just enunciated continue to remain in the forefront of the mind of my delegation and will form the starting point for us in the concrete proposals my delegation intends to make. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Now I give the floor to the distinguished representative of business and industry of major groups.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Business and industry welcomes the Zero Draft's practical and integrated approach, building on past progress, and focusing on implementation. We fully support the notion in paragraph 19 that the private sector has a key role to play in helping to achieve the goals of sustainable development, in particular through poverty eradication. We highlight that business and industry is a primary tool for the implementation of sustainable development and green growth policies, especially through small and medium-sized enterprises. But we need clear policy and regulatory frameworks from governments that facilitate that role. We look forward to working with you to encourage widespread adoption of sustainability approaches by businesses of all sizes and corresponding action on the part of governments and other stakeholders. In terms of the text before us today, we offer the following comments. First, we welcome the focus on poverty alleviation, and we will look for this aspect to be strengthened as discussions progress. We recommend greater emphasis on accelerated efforts on fundamental issues: water and sanitation, access to sustainable energy for all, food security, and the nexus that links these three. Second, we signal caution on the proposal for green economy roadmaps by sectors, as mentioned in paragraph 40. A focus on supply chain, value chain, and economy-wide approaches will foster more progress in this area. It will be crucial to green all sectors in all countries to advance resource efficiency and life cycle approaches. Third, we appreciate the effort to address core economic issues through the Zero Draft. Greening economic growth and activity offers an opportunity to address key transboundary challenges. This will require enabling frameworks at all levels, including open trade and investment, protection of intellectual property rights, rule of law, and consistently enforced contracts and regulations, as indicated in paragraphs 42 and 119. Strengthening sound governance, combating corruption, and ensuring peace and security will be critical to the deployment of sustainable products, services, and practices. Fourth, collaboration and collective action on innovation and technology development and their appropriate deployment via sustainable consumption and production are at the heart of greening economies. We welcome and support paragraph 53 on the strengthening of a scientific basis for policymaking in support of sustainable development. Last, there are many kinds of information referred to in the Zero Draft, such as in paragraph 58 and 23. Government should clearly and explicitly recognize that proprietary information, including certain regulatory data and other confidential business information, must be protected from disclosure, as should information that would undermine the competitiveness of companies. In conclusion, Mr. Chairman, the transition towards a green economy is a shared responsibility by all actors in society. Business Action for Sustainable Development, via its conveners, partner associations, and member companies, stands ready to support and accelerate cooperative initiatives for Rio Plus 20 and beyond. Thank you.
Thank you. Now I give the floor to the distinguished representative of WHO.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you also to you and the Secretariat for putting forward the Zero Draft. Measurable progress towards sustainable development requires metrics that integrate the economic, environmental, and social dimensions of policy. If human beings are the central concern of sustainable development, living a healthy and productive life in harmony with nature, as was stated in Principle 1 of the original Rio Declaration, better health has to be seen as an indicator of what sustainable development seeks to achieve. This was recognized and captured in the JPY in 2002, where Chapter 6 covers a wide range of health issues from nutrition to HIV and other infectious diseases, non-communicable diseases, and others. Mr. Chair, like my friend, the distinguished PR of Guyana, I also believe the future we all want should be a healthy one. Better health contributes significantly to sustainable development outcomes simply because healthy people are better able to learn, to earn, and to contribute positively to their societies. In addition, addressing the social determinants of health, particularly in respect of factors that reduce inequity, has been shown to contribute positively to sustainability and economic stability. Protecting people from catastrophic expenditure when they fall ill by making more rapid progress towards universal health coverage is a central pillar of policies to widen social protection and accelerate poverty reduction. A healthy environment is a prerequisite for good health. Reductions in air, water, and chemical pollution can prevent up to one quarter of the burden of disease. Reducing environmental risk to health is a key component in the fight against the growing burden of non-communicable diseases and reducing the health impact of natural disasters. Moreover, enhancing the health co-benefits from energy, urban planning, and climate change mitigation and adaptation policies creates win-win situations and multiplies the health dividends from sustainable development. Reductions in the number of people impoverished through health expenditure, which now are estimated to be 150 million, is a measure not just of health, but of poverty reduction and good governance. Reduction in exposure to health risks or to the adverse health impacts of climate change and other environmental policies are therefore important indicators in their own right. They also serve as a way of demonstrating the benefits of sustainable development in ways that appeal to public and politicians and that link the social, economic, and environmental pillars. Lastly, let me just mention that next week, on February 1st, there will be member state consultations in Geneva to consider further elements on health issues that may strengthen this document, and I invite all of you that have missions in Geneva to participate. Thank you.
Thank you. Now I give the floor to the distinguished representative of Grenada.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Distinguished Co-Chairs, Grenada associates itself with the statements made by Algeria on behalf of G77 and China, Nauru on behalf of AOSIS, and Dominica on behalf of CARICOM. The government of Grenada applauds the efforts of the UNSCD Bureau in compiling the zero draft document, and we acknowledge it as the foundation upon which we must now build a comprehensive and realistic blueprint to address current and anticipated challenges faced by our people in the achievement of sustainable development. RioPlus 20 offers us an opportunity, Mr. Co-Chair, to assess our progress or lack of it in relation to previous commitments on sustainable development. We therefore should be bold and visionary, raising the current level of ambition that is reflected in the circulated draft. A critical analysis, renewed commitments with means of implementation must be the critical characteristics. For countries like Grenada, support for sustainable livelihoods and job creation, especially for women and youth, is an indispensable outcome. Grenada therefore welcomes the focus on job creation and social inclusion, and we support the call for investment in sustainable land and water protection systems, sustainable forest management, new markets, and all of these linked to renewable energy. Financing for sustainable development, therefore, is of great significance. Emphasis should therefore be placed in attracting additional financing and the simplification of existing mechanisms to access all financing. We reiterate the need for continued contributions by member states to the CSD Trust Fund so as to enable participation of developing countries, especially small, highly indebted island states, in all preparatory meetings and in the conference itself. Mr. Chairman, we note with concern the placement in the text, the replacement in the text of renewable energy with the term, and I quote, modern energy services. And we strongly advise that we remain consistent and committed to renewable energy and energy efficiency. Above all, as a small island state developing, Grenada encourages and supports the notion of the inextricable nexus between water and energy, food and climate change. And we urge that the outcomes of RioPlus 20 adequately address this, given the particular impacts on vulnerable but resilient populations such as ours. Grenada further calls for support for mechanisms and structures such as South Cooperation, so as to help us scale up traditional practices and knowledge for sustainable livelihoods in fields such as sustainable fisheries and aquaculture, ocean and coastal management, sustainable energy, sustainable agriculture, and crafts. Co-chairs, Grenada calls for concerted and genuine negotiations over the next 5 months, placing the people at the center of our plans, their needs and capabilities, in particular the poor people of the world, especially its women, foremost in our minds and our collective consciousness and decisions must be this constituency. And we want to acknowledge the contribution of the Holy See in calling for a people-centered approach to our outcomes. Rio's outcomes must match the scale of the challenges faced by us as we struggle for a more sustainable and equitable quality of life for all. Therefore, further developing the how, that is the action plan, where we urge is important, and we urge that our collective energies be focused there. And that is why we echo the call of G77 and CARICOM regarding strengthening the means of implementation in the document. And in reality, we must do the same. We cannot overemphasize this, that this section in the draft should be strengthened, definitively so. Finally, co-chair, Grenada reiterates its commitment to the MDGs and to overall sustainable development. And that is why we were among those countries holding national consultations in preparation for RioPlus 20. These consultations have energized our people, and they are now looking to the outcomes of RioPlus 20 with very high expectations. The government of Grenada affirms its determination to vigorously contribute to these negotiations, the process, and to the June meeting itself. Finally, let us say to Brazil, our sister Latin American state, that we are encouraged by and we value your leadership. I thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Ambassador. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of South Africa.
Thank you, Co-Chair. My delegation would like to express its gratitude to the Secretariat of the United Nations for Sustainable Development for the drafting of the Zero Draft Outcome.